You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I'm joined by Jason Beck. And Beck, I actually had to laugh. Sunday night, I go to Tigers' website, and it just struck me that the headlines. The headlines were about Blaine Hardy, Matt Boyd, Shane Green, Ito Knudsen, Buck Farmer, and Randy Wolf. Just not the headline stack you would have envisioned going into the season, but obviously speaks to the transition going on in Detroit in general. But and I want to talk a little bit about Brad Auspice's future in that transition. Obviously, he's going to be a central figure of speculation in the industry here going into the fall. Anytime a team has a change like the Tigers made at the top with Dave Dombrowski and Al Avila, there's a potential for a manager fallout. Now, of course, Avila has been on board there, so it's not like a new GM coming in from outside and wanting his own guy in the dugout. But certainly with the disappointment of the season, it's a valid talking point, Brad Auspice's future there. But any sense of that situation right now with a month plus to go in the 2015 season?
Not a whole lot of sense. I mean, you know, the way this team's still kind of scuffling along, you kind of wait for the team to show you a direction on where the Tigers might go for a manager. Having seen teams that fall out of it, tank late in the year, and really struggle to find a whole lot of motivation in September, and you kind of look for signs of that, and you haven't seen definitive signs yet. So from that standpoint, and it's still early, but there's something kind of that way. And I think people are still trying to get a read on what kind of GM Al Avila is going to be. On the one hand, he came out a couple of weeks ago and talked about boosting the Tigers' analytics department and adding more people there and developing more of a focus on that, which if you go by the way Brad Auspice was advertised coming in, you would think that would be a good thing for Brad to be able to have that sort of information and there's some a younger manager who has utilized that in the past. But on the flip side, I think Al's that type of guy who is trying to blend analytics with scouting still. And you look at the strategic things, and Brad's taken some heat in Detroit for some of the moves. I think one of them was, one of the latest was in Houston a week or so ago. He opted to pitch to Jose Altuve instead of creating a situation where Preston Tucker could come on as a pinch hitter, given what Tucker's done to those guys. Strategic things like that, you kind of look for signs of, okay, is he in over his head? Is he learning? Does he have a reason for these? And, you know, he gives you reasons. And I think to some degree, too, and this is going to be a tough one for the Tigers to decide, is how do you judge his job against the talent that's been assembled for him? On paper, this offense is underachieved, given what the expectations have been. The flip side is that if you look at all the bullpen decisions that Brad has been second-guessed about, you have to look at the options and ask what the alternatives were, given who was available. So I think given where the Tigers are at and given the general manager change, it's a complicated question, I think, with Brad.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think a lot of us were caught off guard when Auspice was hired in the first place, not just because of his lack of managerial experience, but just because he did not seem to blend with what has been a more traditional organization. So it seemed like a very forward-thinking move on that front. And you make a good point. Yeah, who knows if they do go a little more analytical in the front office, maybe that's a good thing for him. Maybe not. You don't know. But Beck, I did want to get your opinion on Dave Dombrowski going to Boston. It was billed in a lot of places as the stunner of a move. I guess the stunning thing for me was maybe the timing. But even that, I guess, wasn't that stunning because let's face it, Dave Dombrowski was available. He was a very attractive free agent, so to speak, and Boston pounced. And then if you're Ben Cherington, of course, you don't want to, have your power compromised there from a baseball ops perspective. So I understood his decision as well. But it didn't strike me as a stunner. It seemed to make a lot of sense. What did you think?
Yeah, the two stunning parts of it, I guess, would have been the timing of it. For me, I'm still surprised that we've had two general managers moves in August. I got to wonder when the last time that's happened in baseball. And also how quietly it came about. I know, I think a lot of us heard a lot of speculation about Boston. I had somebody who's known Dave for years say that that's a situation that made the most sense for him, given the history of John Henry. And he was saying that like a week or two before the trade deadline. But the fact that he slipped in and out of the owners' meetings, talked with John Henry, talked with Boston Brass, and really was able to keep it quiet until they announced the hiring, basically, is almost as incredible as Al Avila being able to sit on that job offer of becoming Detroit's next GM for 3 days while Dave was hanging there in the wind before he got let go.
Dave is just stealth like that, I guess, Beck. I don't know what to
say. He does have a
habit. Kind of like how he pulled off the David Price trade last year. The David Price trade was a pretty stealth move last year, getting him from the Rays. So that's how the man works, I guess. But certainly interesting dynamic there in Boston. And I'm sure from the Tigers' perspective, you know, they made it a point right after making that GM change to, you know, lock in the people under Al Avila and make sure there's stability there.
Yeah, in hindsight, obviously, that looks like a really smart move on their part. As surprising as it was that so many of Dave's hires were kept, really, except for a few title changes, it's essentially the same front office, just a different guy at the top. So, and it came together before you even had scouting contracts expired. Now, I do think they're going to add at the end of the year, and the analytical hires will probably come about in September, October, maybe in November. I think you're going to see a boost to the scouting department. Al Avila confirmed that for me last week. They're going to try to boost both of those ends, as well as try to do some things on player development. They have some key player development decisions coming up with Larry Parrish retiring at AAA Toledo, and some other coaching decisions to make and instructor decisions. You see an emphasis on the infrastructure here the last couple of weeks. Ever since the shock level of the move kind of dissipated, you've seen the emphasis on the infrastructure from Al, kind of boosting the foundation, adding more people, as he says, trying to catch up with what other teams have been doing. And I think that might be where you see some of the focus of Mike Ilitch's spending now, because there's no salary cap on, you know, what you want to spend as far as boosting, the front office, the player development department, the scouting, all those. You're free to boost that without having to pay a whole lot of tax, whereas, you know, the Tigers' player payroll right now is right up against it.
So basically, there's going to be a lot of jobs for nerds. That's what you're saying, right? Nerds rejoice, right?
Oh, it's a huge. You've read the stories about Michigan. You know, there's a brain influx coming in here.
Absolutely.
So yeah, the Tigers are just jumping on.
Beautiful thing. Not so beautiful. Shane Green. We've talked about before how really hard to imagine a more dramatic and speedy regression statistically from the start of the season to the way things transpired after that. But maybe we have more of an explanation as to why that was. Has a blood vessel issue in his shoulder that's causing aneurysm symptoms in his right hand. Certainly not something you hear about very often. And I know, medically, as we record this, it's still pretty murky as far as, you know, what exactly is going on here. But what do you make of Shane Green's situation?
I can't say it's an altogether shocking development, because he had the numbness, tingling in one of his fingers. I think they said it was a ring finger during a start in May in St. Louis. And the numbers since then were just so drastically worse than they were before that I think a lot of us were wondering if he was still dealing with that to some degree. Now, when you hear aneurysm or even pseudo-aneurysm, I think Kevin Randa, the Tigers head athletic trainer, put it, it's a little scarier than just numbness and tingling. But the fact that it's kind of related, even if it's a different finger and a different type of symptom than to what he was dealing with before, I think you kind of see the pattern here that this is the problem they're going to have to figure out and take care of. It kind of reminds me of, even though it's a different situation, it reminds me of Jeremy Bonnerman going through the thoracic outlet syndrome back in, I think it was 2008. And the struggles that he had before that really indicated a very off year, especially by his standards and especially the type of pitcher he was. I think we've kind of seen that from Shane Greene. And so I think you have to figure that this played a significant role in the struggles. I think you have to assume that.
Speaking of injured rotation members, Beck, Daniel Norris with the oblique strain, Anibal Sanchez with the right rotator cuff strain. What are the chances we see either of those guys before the end of the season?
Well, on Sanchez, Brad Ausman says he's pretty confident that they'll get him back. Both him and Sanchez are saying that they're hopeful he can be ready when he's eligible to come off the 15-day DL. I kind of have to see it to believe it, given you're talking about a rotator cuff and a pitcher with a history of arm troubles. But you at least like the fact that they have some reason for optimism and some pretty firm belief that it's a strain and not something worse. I don't even think he went out for a second opinion, which is kind of when you see pitchers dealing with anything rotator cuff or elbow related, I think as a writer you kind of assume that there's a visit to Dr. Andrews or some sort of specialist following, even if a first doctor says everything's okay. They're not doing that in this situation, so it sounds like they're pretty confident that they've got the situation pegged. Daniel Norris, you know, they say 3 to 6 weeks from what Norris said the doctor told him. Brad Ausmus said at least 4 weeks was his understanding. I wonder, and I think even Brad Ausmus admitted that at some point, depending on where they're at in September, they might just pull the plug on this and say he's had a good year. He's already somebody you had to watch from an inning standpoint. You know, let's just go have him fresh going into next spring. Take care of this. Make sure it's out of the way. And so that way he can go in, you know, free and clear in the next spring and competing for a rotation job. So, you know, they're not there yet, but I think it's going to be trending in that direction at some point unless he shows some pretty good improvement in the first couple weeks.
All right. That's a wrap. I want to thank Jason Beck for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.